whipped again with pace. It's in! Spurs salvation! Harry Kane leads the party! And they will escape from the bridge with a point! That is one heap of Tottenham joy!
Hello and welcome back to Tottenham Hotspur. This season of Hotspur is brought to you by Fanatics. Are you in need of some fresh new Spurs merch? If you are, click the link in this episode description to order some new Spurs gear via our Fanatics partner link. And not only will you get the hookup, but a portion of your purchase will help support your favorite Tottenham pod. Available on all of your favorite podcast platforms, you can also interact with the show on Twitter, Instagram, and our Facebook page, along with our website and blog at podspur.com. And there will also be a link tree in this episode description with all of those links. So please follow the show, all the guys, and click subscribe to join the conversation and never miss a Podspur. Hey there, and thanks for joining. We're recording this one on Sunday, August 28th. It's about 9 p.m. Eastern time. I'm your host, Matt, and I'm joined in the virtual Podspur studio by my good friend from Bowling Green, the one and only Dustin. Dustin, what's going on, my friend?
Not much. I forgot to tell you this before we got on, but I went to a buddy's housewarming party who's also a Premier League fan who maybe supports another team in North London that I told him, though. But what I'm about to tell you, though, he's going to give a one-time pass. He did hook me up with this sweet Hugo Lloris, like, trading card that he got in a thing. He goes, I don't know if you collect cards, but I found this, and I have no desire to have Spurs cards, so I saved it for you. I was like, well, I appreciate that, man. I think my verbatim words were, I'm going to say nice things about you on the podcast. And that's how I did. So there you go, Evan. I said a nice thing about it. I do love my man, Evan. I knew when he moved to Bowling Green when he was in high school, I think a senior, and then I was in college, so we were really tight, and then he moved away, and now he's back. So it's always good to see old friends, even if they support crappy teams.
We'll have to make sure we tag Evan in this episode.
We can do that for sure.
Yeah. So I recently started doing basketball cards with my son just because I feel like outside of the Premier League, the NBA is the league I watch the most. And he'll watch Spurs matches with me, but like not really dive into anything else. But, you know, that's fine. He's 4.5. So, you know, but I've been looking at the Premier League packs, and the price of cards nowadays,
it's ridiculous.
Yeah, not even Premier League, NBA, just any. I think baseball and NFL kind of have the market cornered. But like,
I'll tell you this. I collected baseball cards when I was younger, but being a hockey guy, hockey cards were my thing, and we could actually get, you know, pretty good amount. Target always had my hookup on hockey cards, and I remember, I think it was the Topps brand back in the day when I was 10. So this was like 2000 to 2002, right around the age of 10, 2000 to 2002. Sorry, Matt, I know that.
I'm younger than you.
Yeah, I'm a baby. But I could get a pack of 22 cards. And I remember Pavel Bure in his Florida Panthers uniform was on it, and I could get it for 99 cents.
Wow.
And you better believe I would buy, if my mom gave me $5, I would buy 5 packs, and I would burn up about 100, I guess it'd be 110 cards. And I'm pretty sure I had 98% of all of those in my house somewhere.
my brother is huge into the card game. Like, he sells cards for like hundreds of dollars and buys them for $100. And
I told my wife, when we have kids, baseball cards could be a thing for us. That and Legos. I could burn up both of those things with kids. It's something fun to do.
Legos with kids will burn you up, though, because when they're on the floor and you step on them barefoot, you will, you know.
I have learned that for sure. The Star Wars Millennium Falcon, I'm like, I think I could put that together one day. I'm crazy enough to do it.
I just actually went on quick to the Panini website. They kind of seem to have cornered the market on cards now. And their impeccable soccer trading card hobby box is going for $22.5 right now. So just goes to show you how things have changed as far as the card values and all of that. But
my Hugo Lloris is a Panini Prism widescreen, so.
Yeah, that's the thing. They add all these holographic details, and they made them shiny, and I think, like, ooh, look at me for millennials like I. And do you qualify as a millennial, Dustin? What's the next one?
Gen X? I don't think I'm Z? Like right on the, like, being born in 92, I was I don't know. I've literally just Googled millennials. I'm trying to get the definition. So born in the 80s or the 90s, so I probably would fit the middle of a millennial.
You're 2 years older than my younger brother, so I feel like you would be closer with me. We're 4 years apart, so I okay. believe you do qualify as a millennial.
Yeah,
so
it says.
I feel like they made this next version of cards for us. They're shiny. Ooh.
I mean, you cut out right there, so I missed it. So that's why I wasn't reacting.
Just saying, they're shiny. Ooh, like ooh, yeah. Piece of candy. You know.
No, it's Google says millennial is 81 to 96. So I think yeah. technically everybody in our group would probably fit the millennial bucket.
Maybe not Scott. Scott's super old, but Scott is couldn't join really? Us tonight. So no, I'm kidding. Scott's only like a year older than me.
I know the bald head would make him senile, but he can't be that old. I know relatively close to, like, we might have just missed each other in high school.
Before we dive into Spurs 2-0 win over Forest and much more, big shout out to Rhode Island Spurs. I was back at the pub today. I was back at the craft, as we call it. Had a nice Cuban sandwich with some buffalo fries. Ooh. It's like a crinkle cut, like, you know, almost like homemade chip Cuban type sandwich. Thing with ranch. Oh, it's good. Good stuff. Had about four pints there. Went home, took a nap, and I woke up like I hadn't drank. So I was like, oh, fresh start. Let's go. As Dustin throws one down right now. So it's always good being back at the pub. I actually like kind of took over Rhode Island Spurs in 2019 and changed it from Providence to Rhode Island Spurs.
Oh, cool.
And we were getting like 4 to 6, viewers at a match. We had like 15 to 20 there today. I'm not sure on the exact count. So for a small state, small group, awesome to see. I got to see some good friends, Jeff and Ben, that I haven't seen in a bit. So awesome being back at Rhode Island Spurs. Great food. Great bear and an even better performance from Spurs. Dustin, you watched this one kind of in retrospect, right?
I did. I wrote my notes down as I was watching it live, though, because I felt like that was the best way to do it.
Yeah, definitely. Always. So let's start with the lineup. Hugo was in net. It was the pretty much what. Let's look at it. Unchanged it was from the last match.
Yes, yeah. It was unchanged.
Unchanged. Sanchez, Dyer, and Davis on the back line. Royale, Højbjerg, Bentancur, and Perisic. Kulusevski, Kane, and Son up top. So let's start with the one man, the legend, Harry Kane. The player that no other team rates, but the player in England forward that everyone else is the standard to be measured by. Kane was absolutely on top of his shit today. This is one of the, I think, better performances we've seen from Harry in the last 2 to 3 seasons. He was everywhere. He was looking to score early and often. He had the 2 goals. He took 6 total shots. There were times in the Chelsea match, there were times in the Wolves match that Harry Kane went kind of ghost, and I did not see this from him today. I thought he was an ever-present threat and an ever-present just, I'm all over the pitch today. How about you, Dustin?
No, I thought Kane was strong today. I actually have his FOTMOB. I have his shot chart pulled up, and I didn't realize he shot one from way deep. That must have been a long pass that skipped past somebody, and Henderson collected. Kane was good today. Kane was the Harry Kane we know and expect out of it. I mean, I'm looking at these stats, 2-3 accurate crosses, 4 or 5 accurate long balls. What striker, what number 9 is doing that elsewhere? You know, defensively, 2 blocks, 3 recoveries, like such a well-rounded performance from Kane. And that's with a missed penalty,
Right.
So, and that was the first time since February of 18 that he missed one. So,
Let's talk about that missed penalty and kind of everything that led up to it. So I guess also worth noting, Dean Henderson, the Nottingham Forest keeper, 2 for 2 on his last penalties. Declan Rice kind of passed him one like 2 weeks ago.
I remember seeing that.
He very easily caught, but the beheaded keeper there made a really nice save on Kane's penalty. If you go back and watch it, Kane was going that way all the way. I think you can kind of read it in his body language. You can see it in his hips. I know you're a guy that likes to look at men's hips as they, fire in shots, as am I, with Fernando Llorente. But this could have been a Kane hat trick, and this very easily could have been 3-0. But the biggest talking point, I think, leading up to that penalty kick was the swat from the Forest defender who swatted it out over the bar. It was a great leaping save had he been a keeper, but it was a defender. It went to VAR. the match official went and looked at it, but it was only given a yellow card. For me, Dustin, that's a red card all day. He prevented a very clear and, you know, I think obvious scoring opportunity. So the way that the sound works at Rhode Island Spurs, depending on the bartender, she'll either put the game audio on, like on the house speaker system, or if we have a different one, she'll crank up the volume on all the TVs, and we had that one today. So I couldn't really hear what the commentators were saying, but I think they were saying that Kane wouldn't have reached it.
Yeah.
But so for me, that's a clear-cut red card.
I'm in the same boat. So I watched a replay today that was actually the Sky Sports broadcast. So I had Martin Tyler and Jamie Carragher. And that's what they were saying, though, too. It's like, oh, he wouldn't have reached it. I'm like, that homeboy volleyball spiked that thing. Like, I don't know how that wasn't a red card. That's two soccer matches in a row I've watched in the past 2 days where there was a really, really poor VAR decision. The other one was the Hell is Real Derby, FC Cincinnati and Columbus Crew, where there was an egregious offside that didn't even go to VAR. It was just given. But I don't know. Like, Harry Kane said after the match in his Sky Sports interview, he goes, if that wasn't like a clear and obvious like attempt at or denial of a scoring chance, then I don't know what that means then.
And I don't even know, you know, so much per se of Kane heading that in, or the ball might have actually found the net on its own without Kane have even touching it. So like
it was a picture perfect cross from Perisic, which is what we're accustomed to already, and this is game four.
No, right on. So I think that was definitely a big blow. Also worth noting, with that goal, Harry Kane goes level with Andrew Cole on 187 Premier League goals. He is now joint third on the all-time list. Let's look at that. That is, what, 21 behind Wayne Rooney? So he's getting there. He's climbing the list. And
Matt, can I ask you a question?
What's that?
Does Harry Kane surpass Mr. Wayne Rooney by the end of the season?
Ooh, 21. He's on 4 right now. I'm going to say no just because of the World Cup. Okay. I think it'll be close. I think he'll do it early next season. But I think the World Cup will play a toll on him. I expect England to make a pretty good run. But that's the only reason.
I suspect if Scott was here, he would say yes, just so we could have a little bit of banter. But I was thinking about it, though. I'm like, that put him at 25. He's on a good pace right now. But you're right with the World Cup and the fixture congestions. He's going to miss some games.
I do have to ask you, with missing games and all of that, how worried were you post Kane's second goal, which we'll talk about in this, like after this, with the celebration afterwards, where Kane kind of, you know, seemed to come up a little bit limp. It looked like the chocolate ankle was
starting to melt a little bit. A little worried, because I remember after there was a hard challenge on him after the goal too, and he was kind of holding a little bit, but very. We'll give it the I think if there's 16 Hershey's pieces and a chocolate bar, I'll give it a 1 out of 16 Hershey squares nervous.
Yeah.
Not nothing, but a 1, just because he has a previous.
I was sitting with my good friend Ben from Rhode Island Spurs, and I was like, ooh, I think the chocolate ankle just snapped. I was pretty worried about that. But, you know, while we're on the subject, let's talk about that ball that Rich Olsen put in there. Just peach.
And I think we have go ahead, man. Sorry, I'm sorry. I'm cutting you off.
No, no worries. Kane was pretty pissed that he wasn't squared up leading up to it. Head was in the hands, and then the ball bounced out wide, and Richarlison threw one in there, and Kane had as much of a layup as you can from a header.
Oh, yeah.
I believe.
It was as easy as the header he scored at Norwich in the season last year from Bentancur, if you remember that goal.
Right, right.
Just had to get his forehead on it and just let the ball do the rest.
Yeah, so you wanted to bring up another point. So I think
brought it up was the run that Richarlison made to keep it in play. Like, that was – there's a reason why we went and bought Richarlison, and it was those things. That when he's a sub, he's going to give us that extra oomph and that extra bit of grit that we need to, you know, see games out. That second goal killed the game. I mean, if it's 1-0, you know – 1-0 late, you know, we've seen it too many times. Spurs could give up a head scratcher, but that second one made it to where we knew Forrest wasn't coming back. So Richarlison definitely deserves his as much credit as for the goal as Kane does, just for his effort to go save it and the perfect service in there.
No, very well said. So let's talk about Richarlison while we're on the subject. The Brazilian logged 16 minutes today. He took two total shots. Another shot took him right in the nards.
I saw that too.
That was tough to watch. But 16 minutes, two shots, an assist. A moment of shithousery, I think even better than Coco Lamella with a little juggle. And then he got fucked up after by like two Forest players. And, you know, I'm okay with all of that. I'm okay with the fact that he juggled the ball. And I'm okay with the fact that Forest, you know, high-load him and bridged him down to the ground there. I feel like, you know, that's expected. I'm okay with all of that. I loved it. I saw a brief clip of an interview that he gave with Carragher and the Sky Sports guys afterwards, where I think Carragher kind of like fainted, like punching him in the nuts on the way out, and he kind of walked off holding his junk. So I saw a great tweet out there. I feel like it was David Ellis, which is a fullback something or other on Twitter. And he said, you know, Richarlison's playing about 10 to 15 minutes a game. It was 16 today. But you feel like he's involved for the whole game. Like,
oh, yeah.
That's how much impact he has coming off the bench. Dustin, what are your thoughts on Richarlison and what he's brought to this Tottenham Hotspur side, you know, even in the very limited minutes that he's had?
So let me pull up his seat. How many minutes has he played on the whole season here? I think it's maybe he's played 90 this season. He's played.
I don't even think it's that.
Let's see. He didn't play the first match. I forget about that. So 47 plus 16. He's played 63 minutes. He's looking at an average FOTMOB rating in that time of about like a 6.4-ish, which, you know, in relatively small chunks, I understand that. He's got an assist. Spent $50 million on him. I think it was $50 million. That sounds about right. You know, Richarlison's been exactly what we needed him to be. And we're going to see that even more. I think today he probably should have scored in that 95th minute when him and Jed Spitz both had a really good look at the net, and just Dean Henderson made a couple of very nice saves. He's going to find the back of that net before we record again. I'm going to go ahead and say that right now. I think against West Ham, he's going to put one in. I think he's going to get a start. I think he's going to put one in the back of the net. And then all you're going to see on Twitter is a little brruh, brruh, off from everybody.
Yeah. As we go through this lineup, and I know we kind of like jumped around there, so I'll finish rounding out. Obviously, we went through, like, you know, how it settled out. Hugo had, I think, that one really good diving save. You know, so pretty good performance from Hugo.
Right, we're talking right after the PK.
Yep. He got that was one of those moments where you thought, like, yeah, Kane just got a penalty save. They're going to go down and score. Like, it was very
surprising. It has that feeling. Yes, it does.
Right. So, you know, solid performance from Hugo. He got a 7.6 on FOTMOB. I thought that was a bit high. The back line, very interesting one. Davinson Sanchez, 7.9 rating. We're into, I think it's 8.5 hours of clean sheets from Big Dive's laundromat. Mm-hmm. I think he had, you know, his one or two moments where he did not look good playing the ball. But he also had a few where his pace really, you know, showed.
Yes.
And he was able to chase down some Forest wingers and, you know, knock it out to the sideline. But Big Dev, I think, was very, very good today. 49 of 58 for his passing, mm-hmm. for 84%. He had 76 total touches. He had a pass into the final third. Only won one out of three of his tackles, but 10 clearances. Three of them were headed. Two interceptions. Five recoveries. Four out of five ground duels won. Three out of three aerials duels run won. And was fouled once and only one foul committed. This was a really good performance from Davinson Sanchez.
Oh, absolutely.
We talked a lot because we had only really seen him in the preseason at left center back. And if you listen to us at all, you know the Podsburg guys are not fans of Davinson Sanchez at left center back. But today at right center back, he looked really good today, Dustin.
Oh my gosh. Big Devo was spot on. Though I think the run you're talking about, I found it. In the 49th minute, he made a really nice hustle play, I'm going to call it, to get back and, you know, knock a ball. And he actually wanted to throw in for Spurs with it all because he knocked it off the Forest guy. It had to have been, if we're talking about down that left side, it had to have been to follow or Gibbs White, one of the two. I mean, Sanchez was really good today. Like, you know, it seems like 2 years in a row we've got that tweet about Cootie Romero being hurt, and we say for a number of games, and we go, oh no, here we go again. Davinson Sanchez has got to play on the right side, and yet he's showing up and putting in solid performances. Like, I think I don't want to get, you know, too far ahead of ourselves here, but, you know, what point do we stop saying, oh, no, it's Davinson Sanchez? Say, hey, it's fine. We got Davinson Sanchez. We're solid.
Right. I think the point with Sanchez is, as Cootie Romero cover, he is top-notch. As a starting left center back for Spurs, he's terrible.
And that's fine.
Yeah.
And we talk about building depth this summer, and, man, Sanchez is hella depth right there. Like, especially from a center back. Think about it. Is he our – if, you know, we're think about a starting three of Romero and Dyer and Davies, who would be the first person in for someone like that? I mean, it has, like, Sanchez has got to be our top guy after that.
Right.
And I know we haven't seen Clement Lenglet, and I think it's here soon we're going to see Clement Lenglet on the left side in that pairing. But, I mean, Sanchez is just doing really – having a very nice under-the-radar season.
And Sanchez and Lenglet, like, give me the belief that we might not bring in another center back just because of what Sanchez has done. Lenglet is, you know, kind of cover for Davis. We look at him, but he can also play the center back. And if you think back to Davinson Sanchez's first season at Spurs, where he was playing between the two Belgian boys who, you know, I love, he played a great central center back at times with those two. And I get it. You know, the passing ability of Jan and Toby are far different than Cootie Romero and Ben Davis. So he's going to look a little bit different in that role between those two. But it almost makes me wonder, because of the versatility of Sanchez and Lenglet, that we might not see another center back, as much as I would love to see Bastoni. But I think the biggest talent or biggest piece that Sanchez brings to the squad was showcased by that run that you referenced there, Dustin. And he is by far our fastest center back. He has most pace of that stable of anyone else.
He's a stallion. He's so strong too. I mean, Cootie Romero is also a very strong, but I mean, Sanchez is a big boy out there. Like, he doesn't get pushed around, and he'll body some people, you know, sometimes good, sometimes bad, but it's one of those things that, you know, he took a dip the first year after, you know, that first season, 17-18, when we bought him, I thought he was really, really good. And then when you had the change in the managers with Poch coming out and Jose Mourinho and Ryan Mason and then Nuno, I think he was probably somebody without a sense of direction. And that probably is what hurt him as much as anything. And then under Conte, he's thriving.
Yeah, absolutely. Rounding out that back line, I thought it was a pretty, you know, bang average performance from Eric Dyer today. He had one mistake that almost led to a Forest goal. It was a pretty big chance off a shitty pass that he put out there. Ben Davis, I thought, was very solid. 29 out of 33 passes. He had the really big block on one of the shots where he chased down one of the Forest wingers on the run. Three clearances, two of them were headed, three interceptions, two recoveries. He was beaten once off the dribble. But I think I read a lot of meltdown on Spurs Twitter about the back three performance today, and I don't think it was as bad as people referenced. I think people were saying that, you know, Forest attack was really dull, and were there a world-class striker out there, we would have been picked apart. And I think that's kind of counting apples and oranges. You know, we're going to see Man City in a few weeks in that cheat code that is Erling Haaland. And hopefully we're going to have Cootie Romero for that. If we're not, I think we're going to be in for a long day. But, you know, this is the Premier League, and not everyone has that elite striker or elite playmaker up top there. So as far as what we dealt with, but we dealt with very soundly. And at the end of the day, it's a clean sheet.
Clean sheet.
So
we've only given, like I said, last two matches in a row, it's a clean sheet.
Yeah, absolutely. And again, over 8.5 hours of Davinson Sanchez clean sheets here at Tottenham Hotspur. Getting into the middle third of the pitch, Emerson Royale got a 6.9 on FotMob. I thought that was pretty generous. I was one of the Emerson, I guess, saviors on here last week and, you know, kind of talking him up on Twitter. But he was very, very poor today with his passing skills. Again, and I want to caveat that he's a really good defender as far as the wing back goes. He is a right fullback. That is him to a T. 70 touches, 8 passes into the final third. 0 for 1 accurate crosses, so only slung that one in there. He was dispossessed twice. 3 clearances, 6 recoveries, and won about half of his duels. Just can't pick out the pass when we need him to. I think that's the biggest thing. He overhit one, I vividly remember, that went across the box. It even went past Perisic, who plays a very wide wing back. And Perisic actually did nice work to save it at the touchline. So
that's probably the one pass that's probably the one long ball that they probably counted for.
Right. It just went through the entire pitch, but
I know which one you're talking about.
He had some really good defensive moments, so I don't want to take that away from him. But in a wing back position, our fans are going to bitch and moan about that, and you know he struggles with that extra help going forward.
Yes, and that's the thing. Did you notice that? I noticed something today, and I want to see if you noticed it too. Did you notice a lot of times when we were trying to work the ball up the right side? Did you notice Emerson Royale cutting like in towards like more of the middle of the field and then us giving the ball to Kulu or Kane or is that happen? Did you notice that as well?
I did. And I talked a bit about that, you know, I guess a byproduct of that last week here on the podcast. And I thought it was, you know, Emerson was kind of tasked with getting the ball to Kulu. And now I think he was tasked with getting the fuck out of the way when Kulusevski got the ball. So I think that might be a direct byproduct of that, if that makes any sense at all.
No, I'm with you. I'm trying to think. I've typed this down, trying to figure out where I made that note. And at the moment's passed, so I'm not going to worry about it. But yeah, I did notice that today. That's not always something I noticed, but it happened like time after time after time. And I was like, I think there's something to that. You mentioned Dejan Kulusevski, and I'm going to jump us ahead to here. I thought Kulusevski had a very nice game today.
Very nice. 7.9 on FotMob in his 83 minutes, 4 shots and an assist. I think the Swede is kind of the engine that makes this team go as far as creative attacking prowess.
That his setup on the first Harry Kane goal showed me, like he talks about how he thinks his best position is actually the 10. And that move right there he made to set Kane up, I'm like, that's the 10 right there we saw. Like so, that.
Yeah, that actually reminded me of a Son Kane link up. You know, it wasn't the best pass to Kane. It was a little bit behind him. It was bouncing. But he took the ball bouncing and very unsettled. But he didn't really look. It was very much reminiscent of Harry Kane receiving a ball, knowing Sonny was going to be out left. Mm-hmm. But Dejan Kulusevski received this ball. And Kane was out right, and he just, you know, hit it to him, played him absolutely, you know, almost perfectly. And like I said, a little bit behind him, a little bit bouncing, but
hey, good enough when to score.
If it's good enough to get the ball to Harry Kane, 9 out of 10, he's going to finish it. You know what I mean?
Yeah, and it's one of those things where I think it's when we start to realize not only now can Kane and Son start to just know where each other are going to be, now you're throwing Kulusevski in there with that. And that last year was what really I thought in, you know, starting in February when we brought those guys in. They came in January 31st, but they started playing in February. And that started to work. That's where we got dangerous, and that's where the charge started. And it's still now it's starting to kind of pick back up again. The other one I thought, Kulusevski didn't score on this one, but I think it was in the middle of the second half, and it was in the 67th minute. Decky got a pass, and he ran into the middle of the field. And Kane made a really nice decoy run to his right to fill in his space. And you saw those defenders just follow him. And then Decky had a wide open shot. And I think it got deflected. It was a nice little piece of deflection on the defending work. But, like, those runs and that ability, like, Decky could have had a couple of goals today. He was chomping at the bit to put him in the back of the net today. He got a couple little unlucky deflections. But, like, he had a nice, very nice performance today. And the Tippett, or, you know, another, a lesser team – And I'll give Nottingham Forest a lot of credit. I thought they set up very well today. I thought they played well in a lot of facets. You know, a lesser team, like, you know, like Norwich last year at the end of the season, Decky would have had two bangers, or at least one or two.
I think that's pretty well said, Dustin. And I think the piece that I like there is you said that Nottingham Forest was very well set up. And I think we've seen that with Wolves. We saw that with Chelsea. We saw it again today with Forest, as you mentioned. Teams are setting up very well defensively against us, but I think it just shows how lethal Spurs are on the counter. Mm-hmm. And that's not even, you know, with human sun firing on
right.
any kind of cylinders. I read a few tweets out there that this was Sonny's worst performance in the last three seasons. I don't know if I necessarily agree with that. He got a 6.5 on FotMob today. Two shots. One was on target. He created three chances. You know, I think his touch is letting him down a bit. I think he's pressing a little bit. He's very pissed off. You can see that with his mm-hmm. demeanor on the pitch. It's not something that we're used to as Spurs fans. On a day where it was his seventh anniversary with the club, I think he very much, you know, being number seven, would have loved to have found the back of the net. Unfortunately, we didn't see it. I wore my Sonny sash kit to the 15-16 sash kit to the pub today.
Nice.
So I was hoping for a Sonny goal. I think everyone was hoping for a Sonny goal, but I think and I heard Barty talk about this on the Fighting Cock and a little bit on the Extra Inch. I think that where Spurs are at right now, Son's going to have to come out. And what that is, it's not Sonny being dropped. It's Sonny being rested or rotated. And Barty did an awesome job explaining this with talking about, you know, when Klopp took Mane out for games last year, he didn't drop Mane. He rotated or rested Mane. And that's how Spurs fans need to look at this. Spurs fans need to look at, you know, Sonny's not, you know, producing. I think, you know, you alluded to it in our group chat, Dustin, with, you know, he had the big preseason in South Korea. This might be a little bit of a hangover effect going on right now. Obviously, we'd love to see him score. We'd love to see him get firing. But he goes through these spells. This happens. It usually doesn't happen at the start of the season. That's usually Kane. But I think Son's going to be okay in the long run. I'm not overly worried about this because of how well Richarlison has come in, you know, and provided a little bit of spark within his, you know, what however many minutes it might be off the bench. I'm not worried about Sonny. Usually it's Kane that, you know, gets to this, you know, slow start. But I do think he'll get back in there, especially with Richarlison firing, you know, on all cylinders, kind of behind him and making the most of his limited minutes, we'll call it. But, you know, Dustin, what were your thoughts on Sonny and his performance today?
So I think it was actually Jeremy or Dustin Dietz who said that thing about Sonny and the preseason and all that. So I don't want to steal anybody's time.
All right. Sorry. Might have been the wrong
guy. No, you're good. I don't, like I said, I don't like to take credit for really good points other people made. I think that's crappy when people do that. So I just want to give them the right thing. Yeah, I think it's harsh to say this was one of Sonny's worst games in a Spurs shirt ever. I mean, we played the boy at left back in a FA Cup semifinal and against a really good a Chelsea team that won the league that year and said, have at it. And I watched that game. Gosh, it's been, what, 5 years almost now? Almost going on 6 years. I don't remember how well he played that game. But I'm just saying, like, this was not the worst Sonny performance ever. I thought in the 60th minute, though, he was a little unlucky. He had a really nice pass to Decky in the 64th minute out wide, and Decky's shot just missed. And then in the 61st minute, he got a really nice ball, really good – or he started to shoot, lost it, picked it back up on the second ball, and then Henderson made a good save. There was good stuff out of Sonny today. If he's playing poorly, he wouldn't be making those runs. So just – it's one of those things. Just give it time. Like I said, I'd like to remind everybody that Harry Kane had one goal in the first 16 Premier League games last year that he played. And then after that, he scored 16 or 17.
That's a great shout.
So give – and then – and Sonny – I remember this summer I wrote a piece on the team of the year last year and the players of the year. And I had the stat there about how many goals Sonny scored from that Manchester City game on. Oh, my gosh. He's going to turn it on. Just give it a little bit of time. And Conte, you know, his – done the right thing in definitive. He says he's suffering right now. He wants to score. When you don't score, you're upset. He goes, but he would be like, I think he said, he's like, if Sonny was a gist of the quote was, if my daughter brought home him, I would want him to go home with her. I would want her to marry him. Exactly. I would want her to marry him. And so just, I'm not pulling the alarm yet on Sonny. He's going to be there for us. He's going to score some really big goals for us. Like I said, in 2018-19, he had he finished the year with like 18 goals and 9 assists in all competitions. And in the first, until November, when he had that really awesome goal against Chelsea, when Chelsea wore that yellow kit and we were at Wembley, I think he had 2 goals and maybe 1 assist until that point. So he'll kick on, I'm confident.
I'm with you. I'm not hitting the panic button on Sonny just yet. Getting back into the midfield, maybe a little bit of a panic moment. Hot Rod, Rodrigo Betancourt went down with seemingly what was a head injury. Put together a pretty nice match up until that point. So he played 89 minutes. He almost had the full 90 under his belt until that knock. 44 out of 50 passes for 88%. He had 60 total touches. He even slung a pass into the final third. 2 clearances, 2 were headed, 2 interceptions, 7 recoveries. It was a pretty solid performance from the Hot Rod. The thing I noticed about him, he'll receive a ball kind of in a tight spot, and instead of like taking 2 touches on it, the flick that he puts on and to just send someone in space with the outside of the boot or the back heel or whatever it is, like, my man is saucy on the ball. Big Hot Rod fan. If that head injury is any kind of, you know, worry or serious business, I think we could be in a bit of trouble. Although we'd be bringing in Yves Bissouma, and I do want to see him get some more minutes. Mm-hmm. But, you know, I am a big Hot Rod fan, and I thought his performance today was very good.
I agree with you 100%. Also, don't forget we have Oliver Skip, too, at some point soon. So,
right.
Relatively soon. I don't know exactly. I haven't heard an injury update on Skippy in a little bit. So, but I think we're fine. It's just one of those things. Like, if the injury occurs now, it's a little more dicey. But in the long run, we should be fine. I mean, Hot Rod just is so consistent. He just does what we need him to do. And I think that's just the easy way to do it. Like, he's a consistent 7 to 7.8 every week. You know, he's going to drop an occasional assist. He's going to create some chances. He's just going to be steady, that metronome type player. You know, think about someone like I'm not saying he is this player, but think about like the performances, the consistency we would get out of a Moussa Dembélé. Like, he was just consistent for us. What we needed him to do.
I think it's a very interesting piece because Hot Rod will drop these performances where it's not necessarily eye-catching and he, you know, throws in and slings in the sideways pass here and there. But because he does it with a little bit of flick and a little bit of flair, instead of a certain English center midfielder who we're going to talk about a little bit later who's on his way out, fans love it. But I think if he wore a different number and was seen as a different player, fans would be very against it. So
that's a good shout.
It's just interesting how people perceive Hot Rod. I think it's a position that I, as a fan, always love. I love watching the battles in the trenches of the center midfield. And, you know, whether it's Hot Rod or whether it's PEH, who we'll talk about next, you know, I think that those are positions that go with a lot of praise and go with a lot of slander when you do make mistakes. So PEH gets a lot of slander on Tottenham Twitter. And I think, again, if Kane didn't have both goals, we're probably talking about the man of the match right here for the Dane. He had that one shot where he whipped it just into the side netting.
Yeah, he could have done a little better with that.
Well, I think a big part of that was Kane was very hesitant to play him in. If that had been Kulusevski, I think Kane releases that pass a lot sooner. But I think because it was Højbjerg, Kane was a little bit hesitant to let that pass go. Højbjerg had 54 out of 66 passes for 82%, created 3 chances, 81 total touches. He was just everywhere on the pitch today. This was a very Denmark performance from the Viking. He did have that absolute peach of a ball into Sonny. Who may or may not have been on or offside, but didn't finish it, so it didn't really, you know, matter. But probably should have had an assist on the match today. But this was, I think, one of PEH's best performances in the Tottenham Hotspur shirt throughout his career.
I'd agree. I mean, he also won 7 out of his 10 total duels, and that's not nothing for us on there, and he had 9 recoveries and 5 interceptions. Like he was here, he was there, he was everywhere today, and I loved it.
Right. And our last performance was Ivan Perisic. He got a 7.0 on FOTMOB today. I was actually surprised to see him start. I figured he would have gotten rested today and probably seen 30 minutes and, you know, then started the derby midweek versus West Ham. Just a very solid workmanlike performance from Perisic today. The biggest thing, again, is just his ability to sling it across. You know, and then he takes contact, and I mentioned it at the bar at Rhode Island Spurs. He takes contact and does not fall down. He is so strong with his lower body. Every picture you see of him, you know, in training, he's doing leg presses. Like, yeah, I'm just so impressed with him as a fellow 34-year-old and his physical stature and what he does week in and week out. He just absolutely blows my mind with how he performs.
Absolutely. I honestly thought the 7.0 was a little harsh on him. I thought he was a little better than that. But also, he played only 74 minutes, so that adds in. I'll say it again this week. We're talking about a guy we got for free, and he's just going out here and doing what we need to do, and we're going to be able to rotate him and bring in Sessegnon. And we brought in Sessegnon today, and I thought he was, you know, did just fine, which I'm not saying that to slight Sessegnon. It's just we went from having at the end of the season being so having to say, well, we got to kind of play Sessegnon at left wing back to now it's like we're strong in left wing back. Let's go.
Right. I think, you know, a bit of a tip of the cap to Conte today for putting Spence in and getting him knowing he'd probably get a good round of applause from that group. Mm-hmm. I guess the one biggest thing is, why are we still only playing Yves Bissouma 10 minutes a match? You know, this one in, maybe we'll see more rotation for West. I doubt it for West Ham. Maybe Fulham. Maybe.
I don't know.
I'm at a loss on this one.
It's a head scratcher that we haven't played. I haven't got him a start. I would have thought, you know, one of these games he would have done it. I don't know. Bissouma's, like I said, the small sample size he plays, he does good thing. He's like he had 6 of 9 passes in 7 minutes. He had, you know, 13 touches in 7 minutes. A pass into the final third, three recoveries, a steal. He won his only duel. Small sample size, but man, I want to see 70 minutes plus of that.
Right. So,
and we've talked about his progressive abilities. We haven't really got to see that on display with the limited minutes he's had. But man, I trust Conte. I know he's got a plan, and I'm ready to see it right out.
The end of the day, Forrest had 55% possession to our 45. Forrest with an XG of 0.95 to Spurs 2.41, 17 shots for Forrest to Spurs 18, 2 big chances for Spurs, 85% accurate passing for Forrest to 81 for Spurs, 6 corners to Forrest for Spurs 1. So a bit of a, you know, statistical anomaly there. I know we're going to talk all season about Spurs not possessing the ball and whether that's good or bad. I think the biggest takeaway from today is I'm worried about that Carabao Cup tie. And I don't think that Spurs are going to be able to rotate as much as we had initially hoped for.
Yeah. And it's a long season. We've still got 29, 30, 31. We got 4 days left in a silly season. So, you know, who knows what could happen. The amazing stat to me is how even a lot of those things are, and then you look at shots on target, 7 for Spurs and 1 for Forrest. It's just they talked about it on the Sky Sports broadcast how this was another game where Forrest controlled everything that wasn't the two boxes.
Right.
And Spurs were lethal in both the boxes. We cleared chances, we scored when we needed to. Like, I'll take it for sure.
Yeah, to put a pin in this one, Dustin, going to give you a bit of Scott segment as far as points this season versus last season.
Yes.
So take us home with that.
So I'm working on this. I had an epiphany and I sent it to Matt. He kind of followed after a little bit of R2-D2 head scratch. We ended up on the same page here. But we were kind of thinking with – we were trying to compare this to last year. We didn't have Nottingham Forest in the league. But Norwich is kind of replaced by Fulham because they're the championship winners. And then you have Watford being replaced by Bournemouth as the champions or championship runner-ups. So that kind of leaves Nottingham Forest to take Burnley's spot. And last year in at Turf Moor, we all remember we were off a big high of beating Man City 3-2, and then we went out there and lost 1-0. So we turned 0 points into 3 points, and that's never a bad thing. So that puts us 10 points in the positive on the season, puts us up over 81 points, which would be our third highest point total in the our second highest point total in the Premier League ever, behind the 86 that we had in 16-17. And that also puts us our goal difference change on the season at plus 11. So things are – I think we ended the season plus 19 in goal differential, if my memory serves me correct. So that put us at plus 30. 81 points plus 30 goal differential, that's a team that's going to play in the Champions League in 23-24, if not have higher aspirations.
No, I like that. That's good stuff. So we're going to talk a little bit more and we're going to give a bit of a loan update as well as a rumor roundup, but we'll do that right after this short break. Welcome back to Tottenham Podspur. To kick off the second half of this episode, we're going to give a little bit of a loan update as far as what Spurs players out on loan did with their performances. And we'll start off with Dane Scarlett, who found the back of the net for his first senior performance for Portsmouth as they beat Port Vale 1-0. Scarlett put in a beauty of a goal in the 25th minute. We actually had it streaming in our Tottenham Podspur Discord. So if you're on Discord or if you're listening to this and you're a U.S. Spurs fan or from anywhere, just send us a DM. We'll get you added on that. It's predominantly U.S. Spurs supporters. We try to put up streams as much as we can. We try to get the action going, but the live chat is pretty awesome, and it's grown exponentially throughout the week. So a very good performance from Dane Scarlett, getting the goal on his first senior goal.
I think he's starting to find his footing a little bit too.
He is. He played not all 90 minutes. He came out in the 76, so 76 minutes for Dane. But it was a very good goal. He was put in one-on-one with the keeper, and he dribbled right up to the keeper and then, cheekily kind of chipped him in. He had 5 for 7 passes, 2 total shots, and, hopefully this will open up the floodgates for him. The other goal scorer, as far as the loan updates, was Destiny Udogie for Udinese, who scored a pretty big goal for them, giving them the 2-1 lead or 2-1 win over Monza. Just a very nice performance from him. He got a 7.9 on FotMob as far as 81 minutes, including a yellow card. Seems to be the prototypical Conte left back. 26 of 28 accurate passes, created a chance, had the goal, blocked a shot, 46 total touches, and 4 recoveries. Just a very good performance from Udogie. Hopefully next season we're able to see him come into the fold. As far as two players go who we probably won't see coming back into the fold, starting out with our man Giovanni Lo Celso for Villarreal. He had a 7.4 for FotMob on 69 minutes played. He took one shot. He created 2 chances, 25 of 32 passes for 78%, 2 passes into the final third. He's taking corners for them, and he's also won both of his tackles with 3 recoveries and an interception. So a pretty solid performance from Lo Celso in La Liga. And Tanguy Ndombele came on for 12 minutes for Napoli, got a 5.9. He got a yellow card, 10 of 10 on his passes, 12 total touches, dispossessed once, 1 recovery, and 1 foul committed for the yellow card. So not the goal versus the Serie C side that we saw midweek all over Twitter, but kind of struggled to get into the match as a substitute for Serie A. And that's all I've got so far for the loan update. So, Dustin, we've got just under 5 days.
4 days.
4 days as we're recording this for silly season. Hit us with the latest and greatest rumors that you have.
So we're going to start with 3 people that are all but out at this point, it seems like. 2 of them really, really out, and 1 of them I think there's a conditional yes, and the condition is we got to replace him. But we'll start with the man that Matt alluded to a little earlier, I was going to wear the kit in honor of him today, but the move hasn't been completed, so I'm going to save it probably for next week, and that is one Winks Siesta, Harry Winks. It was reported by DiMarzio, it would be yesterday, Saturday the 27th, that Sampdoria has, quote, formally completed a year-long loan for Harry Winks. It looks like it's going to be a loan with no buy option, the straight loan. It appeared earlier this week that it wasn't going to happen. It appeared early because, you know, he did. It, apparently, Winks had agreed to it on, I think it was Wednesday. And then the next day, he started to have a change of heart. And then he was looking at some other things. Southampton, as reported by, it wasn't DiMarzio. It was the Evening Standard. Southampton and Nottingham Forest both were interested in him. He was, you know, kind of torn between between going to Italy or staying in England, and it now looks like he is headed to Italy with Sampdoria. Charlie Eccleshare has reported that, typically we want to, Spurs want to replace, but he's already been replaced, and his name is Yves Bissouma.
And hopefully Yves Bissouma can don that number 8 kit here very, very soon.
So, Matt, I know you're a fellow person who, loves them some Harry Winks. I tweeted this week my favorite goal of his against Fulham. In January of 2019, Winksy only scores bangers. Some kind of final thoughts that this might be the last, week we can really talk about Harry Winks as a member of Tottenham Hotspur?
I think it's that great age old quote of, don't cry because it's over, smile because it happened.
I agree.
I think Sampdoria will be a pretty good fit for him. They're a pretty boring side. So I think he'll fit right in and be the metronome on a side with real no tip to the spear.
Yeah. And we know Winks, it's one of those things too. On his day, he can boss the new camp. So,
all right. You can't say that about everyone.
I know. So Winks deserves some love, and I know we'll give it to him, but also there's, for every boss at the new camp and every, goal at Fulham to win us the game, there's some lackluster performances. Another name that I have a list about, Yay Long, which is pretty, if you guys can see my hands right here, Matt can see it. It's a pretty big gap right here. It's Sergio Reguilon. There was a lot of interest. The short of it is this. Tonight, Fabrizio Romano tweeted those three famous words, "Here we go." It looks like he is going to go on a straight loan to Atletico Madrid. Season-long loan, no option or obligation to buy. Earlier this week, Fabrizio Romano reported that Nottingham Forest was interested, but Reguilon was interested in them. We were told by Tutto Sport, Juventus had entered the conversation. DiMarzio said Lazio was very important. Maurizio Sarri was big on bringing him into Lazio. DiMarzio then said Fulham had overtaken Lazio as the start. It's a lot of he sheds, she said, all this stuff. It looks like he was really looking for the move back to Spain because earlier this week, DiMarzio had also said, the Reguilon was willing just to chill out. He's got his money. He's got his contract. I'll hang out till January if I have to. And then Atletico Madrid popped in. And now the move's done. Matt, let me talk about one rumor in all of this I find particularly juicy. And this was reported by Calcio Mercato, and it would have been on the 26th. So that would have been Friday. Calcio Mercato reported that Juventus had offered a certain American central midfielder, Weston McKennie, for the services of Sergio Reguilon. Do you think that move, do you think that's a load of crap? Or do you think that maybe just because of what we look at with our midfield currently, we said, nah, that's not really what we need?
I kind of hope it was a load of crap because I see that making sense as, Conte has spoken about the players who will go between now and the window will be replaced. But with that, he was not talking about Sergio Reguilon. He was not talking about Harry Winks. He was not talking about Giovanni Lo Celso. He was not talking about Tongi and Ndombele. Yep. Those are the players who were kind of ostracized from this group and were kind of put out on that other pitch to rot. Mm-hmm. So I think Reguilon falls into that category. So to get a player like Weston McKennie, who probably could come in and help us out as far as depth wise goes, and being able to change formations and, being an American, obviously I'm very biased here and I would love to have bought that elite kit yesterday. Yep. I struggle with that one. He's also been a Paratici target, for a while. So I don't see how that one was so easily dismissed unless it was in the works for a while and we've only heard, you know, kind of the tail end of it. But, you know, it makes me sad.
Yeah, I agree. I would have loved to have seen what I've been when Weston McKennie was at Schalke before he moved to Juventus. I was like, I could see him coming to us and coming to Spurs and making a difference because he can fill a lot of different positions. The one player we didn't mention that's really really close with air quotes to moving, but we do need a replacement for him, is Brian Hill. On Wednesday, it was reported by Fabrizio Romano that Brian Hill was, quote, close to joining Valencia on a one-year deal, and then that hasn't really come together officially, but I believe that is because we are looking for a wing, a left wing, right wing, or Hill normally plays on the left, so somebody to replace him on either one of those wings, or maybe it is both. Matt, let's do it this way. We're going to switch train this. If Hill's going to go out, what's a name you've heard that you think that would be a good replacement for? Like, either A, makes logical sense, or B, you would just really like to see come in and replace him.
Right. So Hill's an interesting one, right? Because he's a player you bought cheap as a youngster, and you kind of hoped you were going to improve the value upon it and sell off. And we're not going to do that by loaning him back to Valencia every year. He needs Premier League minutes if you want that value to spike. He's not going to get it here at Spurs as the sixth attacking option as far as the depth chart goes. He would either need a Premier League move or to actually play for Tottenham to get that. And I don't think neither is happening. You know, the names that we've heard are Adama, Saint-Maximin, Gordon from Everton, and I think as of late, Wolf Saha from Palace. And, you know, I think Gordon would be the most expensive of the bunch there. And to spend 60 million to 50 million on a guy who's going to be your sixth attacking option, which Gordon would be, I think is far too much. I don't like Adama. I know his contract's running out and he's coveted by Paratici. But Wolf Saha enters the fray, and I've been very opposed to him. I think as Spurs, I've been linked to him in the last three or four windows because he's a bit of a C word.
He practices the dark arts.
Right. I've been opposed to that, but I think Richarlison is kind of showing me what, you know, that could bring. I don't know if I also said it, but I know Saint-Maximin has been linked, but I don't see Newcastle selling him. I also feel like Wolf would be a tough sell for Palace as they've been playing pretty well. Mm-hmm. And I think the biggest tough piece there would be, you know, Wolf would probably have to sacrifice some playing time. I think he'd be my favorite target of the lot right now. With all that said, I'm going to say the signing is probably going to end up being Adama, if not the one that I didn't mention, and that's Daniel James from Leeds, just because of how absolutely fast he is. He's a piss rocket. He plays pretty well for Wales. He just can't convert. We don't really need him to convert. We need him to get in good spots and maybe pick out a pass. So for me, I'd love to see Zaha there, but I think it's going to end up being James or Adama.
Yep. You just sent me on a whole thing with the dark arts. I was like, maybe it's kind of like in the, I know you're a Star Wars guy as well, in the whole realm of the bigger universe of Star Wars, there's, you know, the gray Jedi. They find the balance in the Force. You know, what Rian Johnson was trying to accomplish with Luke Skywalker in The Last Jedi, which I know is a divisive topic. And I feel like we just channeled our inner Matt and Bucks from Talking Tottenham right there with my little Star Wars reference. So, but you know, you said a lot of names that I've got stuff on, so it was a nice segue. You know, you talked about Anthony Gordon coming in from Everton. Chelsea's reportedly, this was on at Tuesday. It looked like Chelsea had reportedly submitted was willing to submit a £60 million offer on him. That's just a lot. Lyle Thomas of Sky Sports said Spurs are really interested, but he doesn't see them getting into a bidding war with Chelsea. You mentioned the name Daniel James, and I think that's an interesting one because Ali Gold on Tuesday the 23rd reported that Spurs do have interest in him, but there's not been really any in-depth discussions with Leeds about the player. And then the following day on Wednesday, Charlie Eccleshare said that he believed that Daniel James was a more realistic option for Spurs than Anthony Gordon, but there's just no
real talks. And then I also have seen the likes of Jack Harrison pop up, another person from Leeds. But Lyle Thomas said, who was on The Last Word on Spurs, I think it was on Tuesday. He said that Spurs he didn't think would match that fee because they're wanting something like £60 million. And that's a whole lot. And like you said, he talked about Alan Saint-Maximin. He said that, like you said, Newcastle just sees him as too valuable. I don't want to talk about Adama Traore because I'm not going to talk about the oil tanker.
I also think with the Saint-Maximin, the best gif out there is the Gattuso. Sometimes maybe good, sometimes maybe shit. Like, that is ASM, you know, to a
I will tell you, man.
We're going to reference that gif out there, I think, at least once an episode this season.
I believe so. I'll tell you, Matt, I have the video of that, and I think in this past week I've watched it. There's been a couple days where I've needed it in between classes at school. I pulled it up just to have a good chuckle. One more winger name that I want to mention here. It's a name we've talked about a lot this summer is Nicolò Zaniolo. Sean Walsh of 90 Minute Football reported on Wednesday that Spurs are still interested in him despite the shoulder injury, but it also says that Chelsea and Juventus also have interest in him. I don't see it, but it's a name that's I think it's going to follow us all the way through it. I know I said one more, but actually let's talk about the one that actually interests me the most. Hakim Ziyech. I know I say I don't think it's going to happen, and I think, you know, after 2018-19 when he put in the shift with Ajax, that would have been the prime time to jump on him, and I was actually pretty pissed that we didn't. But, you know, Gary Jacob reported on this was Thursday that Spurs actually were offered Ziyech by Chelsea because he's last week, which would have been the week when we played Wolves, because he's fallen out of favor with Thomas Tuchel, however you say he's a douche canoe. I don't know how to say his name. But, you know, there's a lot of names on the wing front, and it just seems like that's just so fitting for us, right, Matt? All the wingers in the world. Winger FC, that's what we are. Not like Winger the band, but like left and right wing FC. after that, you know, there's not been a ton of stuff about, you know, in the center back front, which, you know, we talked about earlier, we might not bring one back unless we see. I think that's going to be if we send Joff Tanganga out, that will be one. Not much on him. The big one on his was on Saturday, so yesterday. DiMarzio reported that AC Milan actually appears they may have moved on from Jafet Tanganga, and it appears the name they're looking at on loan is a name that we've apparently talked about on loan, and that is Trevor Chalaba.
I actually read just before coming on here, Dustin, that Chalaba was not going to AC Milan. So
well, there you go.
Could potentially open the door back up for Tanganga, but you know, it's another interesting one. I think we're all big Tanganga fans here. This is actually a Tanganga top that I'm wearing right now, the yellow.
So you dirty dog.
That makes me sad. But it's
I don't think
he'd be one that would be replaced, though. So
I 100% agree. And I think if Tanganga stays, he could find himself a decent handful of minutes across, you know, the competitions this year if we have the rules. You mentioned Wilf Zaha, and I don't have any specific links for Wilf Zaha, but his name did pop up in some of the rumors for Atalanta's Ruslan Malinovsky. So on well, – I'm looking for the date, and there is a lot of stuff on here. I guess it was Tuesday. There was a big update, and there's a lot of Malinovsky things on there. And it said – and this was reported by Lyle Thomas of Sky Sports. So this must have come from when it was on Last Word on Spurs – that Spurs are hesitant with him because they're worried about handing off long-term contracts and high transfer fees for players over 30. And this is where Zaha's name popped up because they said, which is why Spurs have not really been any links to Wilfred Zaha. So, I mean, I think they're thinking about age. I think they're thinking about the future, which, you know, everyone wants to jump on and talk about, oh, that means Conte staying for forever until he dies, and then we're going to reincarnate him, and he's going to keep going. We're going to have zombie Conte on the sidelines, and we're going to win every Champions League from here on out, and we're going to be the cream of the crop forever because we're the cream. We like cream, and give me the cream. But you loved that, didn't you, Matt? You weren't ready for that.
It was not.
There's a. I'm going to send you a gift letter tonight of a canister just oozing cream out of it again, just for the sake of old times.
I'll put a bow on some of this. There's no some names that we've mentioned before that there's no real new information about. Ashley Phillips from Blackburn Rovers, nothing new on him. Max Kilman from Wolves, I still would be interested in him at center back, especially left center back. Not any much on him. It's pretty quiet on the James Madison front across all parties. Sergei Milinkovic-Savic, not much. And we're still thinking about, you know, outgoings Pape Matisar and PEH. Nothing really new on that front. The only other new name that's popped up this week that we haven't talked about recently, but a name that we were linked with earlier this summer, is Ilya Zabronyi from Dynamo Kiev. And I'm pretty sure I said that name right. It sounded good. But it was – here's another one that I'm going to go with. Zorya Ladonsk of Dynamo Kiev Insider reported yesterday, and this was picked up by Last Word on Spurs, that Zabronyi is very close to moving to a, quote, London-based Premier League team for the price tag of 16.9 million pounds plus some add-ons. And it's just a matter of time before it'll be finalized and the team will be announced. Matt, do you have any, you know, would you be willing to bet all on black that this is going to be the London-based team that he's going to go to with Spurs?
Yeah, I think he's coming. From what I've seen and what I've tweeted out there, I added my friends from the Ranks podcast, and Sam Teague did reply to this one and said, you know, he is quite the prospect. I knew that the Ukraine, one of the youth teams, had won the Euros or whatever it was a couple years back, but this was actually predated him. But Sam did mention that he was quite the prospect. But again, prospect, not going to come in and really, I think, help the squad right away. Yeah, maybe some FA Cup appearances if he does come in, but he's not cover for any of our center backs right now.
He's 19. I could very well see him come in for thinking about, you know, if we were to, before the World Cup starts, win that match at Nottingham Forest to progress to the fourth round of the Carabao Cup. Ukraine is not in the World Cup, so their first match coming out of the World Cup would be a fourth round Carabao Cup match against whomever. Hopefully it's the likes of a lower end team and we don't get the draw like Chelsea didn't have to play Man City. But like literally like 2 days after the World Cup final, there is a team, and I'll give you a little taste of something I've got brewing over here, Matt. I'm thinking about who we've sent to the World Cup and who is staying, and I'm trying to kind of plot how would I imagine, should we beat Nottingham Forest on November the 7th, I believe it is, what that lineup would look like for that Carabao Cup match. And it's some interesting one. And I'll save it for another date because we're too far away and we're already gone deep on this one. But there's some interesting names that aren't going to the World Cup for us that I think actually would say there's a stronger team staying home and playing in that game than most people realize.
Nice. Very, very good to hear.
But that's just a taste of something to come. I'm gonna
leave you on the hook for that one.
There you go. Appreciate all of the ear to the ground and chasing all of these transfer leads. It's almost over, Dustin. You can take over the loan update that I gave tonight. Hopefully, do a better job than I did.
Nah, you did perfect, my brother.
Before we do sign off, I want to give a few social shout outs, and we'll start off with our three words on Spurs. So, if you're not already, follow us on all of our social accounts. We're trying to put out daily content, including the three word review after each match. We had Mick at Mick355615. 451 on Twitter. His three-word review was "must do better." You know, I think I hear that. I can echo that. Our good friend Austin ATX Bazan said Dr. Richard Arlison, and I replied to him that, you know, he might need a doctor after that little tap he got on his bits and bobs
on the mommy daddy button.
Mike at Hotspud FC said Kane is inevitable. Mm-hmm. Dustin, you, my friend, East Gentile 25, had more Kane records. And a really good one from Paul H underscore THFC, Richie Boiling Piss. So I love reading those. I think people do a good job of summing those up. And also getting back to the socials, I want to give credit to two of our followers. And again, this is all on Twitter at Tottenham Pod if you're not already following us. We'll start with Debs THFC at Debs Baxter, who on Goal Bingo had Kane in the fifth, along with Adam at Tottenham Your Man who also had Kane in the fifth. So we had two goal bingo winners. Your prize is in the mail. Don't worry about it.
Oh, we do have prizes for this.
No, not yet, but it'll get to you. It's in the mail. You know how the mail works here in America, yeah. Dustin. So, big shout outs. And again, if you're not already, follow us on all of our socials. We got daily content coming out. We got some cool stuff to interact with. If you're not on the Instagram, that's probably our fastest growing one right now. We got some cool interactive stuff on the stories. So make sure you follow the Instagram as well. And that one is at Tottenham Hotspur. Again, you can find a link tree to all of those in this episode description. So,
I can't wait to hear people's 24-hour rules tomorrow.
It'll be good stuff. That was kind of my final thoughts. So, Dustin, what are your last thoughts as far as you got for this episode? Before I do that, West Ham on Wednesday. So we'll try to get a midweek pod out there. I'm back to school tomorrow. I know Dustin's been back, but I think we'll have the bodies to get at least a little bit of content out there. So, Dustin, what do you got for us for final thoughts?
Four games this season, or four games in on the season, zero losses, three wins, 10 points, plus 10 in the fixtures from last year, plus 11 goal difference on build from last year. Not too shabby. You know, performances could be better, and I think they will get better. But you know, I was very today was much better than against Wolves. I'll say that it felt better. Still exciting. Lots of fun stuff happening. I think next week is going to be a telling week for us because you know how West Ham is. They're going to give us everything they got every single time. Matt, is that match home or away?
That match, I think just closed the window there. So apologize.
I think it's home. No, it's not home. I believe it is
at the London Stadium.
Yeah, it is. And then because I was going to say, because Fulham is at home. And we play Fulham again in January, which made me at Craven Cottage, which made me think about Harry Winks. That's why
right. That one is at the London Stadium. Yep.
Yeah. So we're gonna get a good a hard matchup. I know that West Ham's gonna give. Oh, they dropped today. No,
they pulled it off.
They did pull it off. It's been a while since I looked at those early games. They've had a little bit of a rocky start to a season, but you know what? They will look at this game as a way to get jump started again. So, you know, it's going to be a big one midweek. It's going to be important. And Fulham can't be a letdown. We can't, you know, have a tight butt game against Fulham coming up. We got to finish it off. We have to hammer it.
Right. Like you said, West Ham actually, Fornals scored in the 74th minute to give them a 1-0 win over Villa. I think the biggest piece is it's a derby. All form goes out the window in the derby. That was their first win of the year. So hopefully we can go put David Moyes back into the first manager to be sacked pool and give them a pretty good spanking at the London Stadium. But, you know, that's Wednesday. Again, tune in. Hopefully we can get a pod out there Wednesday night for you guys. But, you know, that about wraps things up for this episode. So thanks for tuning into Podspur. We appreciate your support. Again, if you're not already, check out all of our accounts on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook. Follow each of the guys and check out our blog and website at podspur.com. And just a reminder, you can get a quick access to all of those links in one neat location by clicking the link tree in this episode description. We've got an awesome Discord chat brewing. I'm actually going to throw that up there on the link tree. Just hopefully we don't get hacked too bad on it. So
we can block people and
it's a little bit more secure. But so if you click the link tree and want to get on our Discord and it's not there, just send us a DM and we'll get you sorted out. And also if you've enjoyed the show, please leave us a rating and a review on whichever podcast platform you listen to. 5 stars goes a long way to helping fellow Spurs supporters find the show. Thanks again for tuning in. I've been your host Matt for my good friend Dustin. We'll see you next time. And as always, come on, you Spurs.